Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. Today's message is titled, Worth Selling All? With a question mark, worth selling all. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning of verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Here ends the first reading, a reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Here ends Romans chapter 8 reading. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 44. Jesus is continuing to teach in parables. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, that's his disciples. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. The gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer and our prayer. In 2010, that's 2010, a treasure hunter with a metal detector came upon an amazing find in southwestern England. Stopping when he heard, according to his word, when he heard a funny signal coming from his metal detector, and he began digging. And he reached down with his hand and he pulled out a bit of clay, and in that clay was a little Roman coin, a very small coin. And if you look at your hand, it's about the size of a fingernail. It's that small, a small coin. And reaching down some more and pulling out some more clay and dirt, and he pulled out another 20 coins. He then realized that these coins were in a pot, that is a clay jar. And there were more coins, more coins. He stopped what he was doing. He recognized that expert help really should be brought in, expert help, because this was a find, a really an interesting find. Archaeologists could learn a lot from this. And so Mr. Crisp, that's his name, Mr. Crisp, he resisted that temptation. I don't know if you could resist it. I would have a hard time resisting. He resisted the temptation of continuing digging on his own to see what was actually there. And also, England has a process when treasures are found. They go through a formal process of inquests and all that to see how this, how that, who's it belong to, how much should a museum pay for it, and all these other things. So an inquest would need to be put together too. And it's subject to the Treasures Act. So the Treasures Act. So an inquest. All in all, there were 52,500 Roman coins in that jar. 52,500. It weighed 350 pounds. At this time in 2010, it was worth 3.3 million pounds, or roughly $5 million. That's 2010 money, $5 million. 52,500 coins were in this treasure in that jar. And more than that, though, these coins, with the images imprinted on them, these coins helped define English history and the role of the Roman rule in that land. 760 of these coins had the image of the Roman naval officer who was a separatist. And this Roman naval officer set himself up and declared himself as emperor in the north. Carausius did that in 286 AD. He didn't last long as emperor in the north because he was assassinated in 293 AD by one of his associates. In another English field, a few years later, a treasure trove of gold coins keeps turning up, beginning in 2017. At the end of plowing season, several coins were found. And then the following season, at the end of plowing, they found more gold coins. The dates of these gold coins are from the first century BC. to the first century A.D. They are minted before the Roman conquest of Britain in 43 A.D. So it's raising questions as to how these coins ended up in this field. And there's accounts of other finds of treasure all through Europe and such like that. And coins in England, coins in... Yes, you can find treasures in fields. It really does happen these days. And just like it happened in the era of Jesus too. And that's what makes this parable in Matthew chapter 13, finding a treasure in the field, so real. Burying of treasure for safekeeping, it was common, especially when the prospect of being attacked and overrun by others. They're coming your way. Bury the valuables. And you place them most oftentimes in ceramic jars because it helped keep them. And hide them in the ground so only family knew. If only family knew. Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. The kingdom of heaven like a treasure. Treasure, it means precious things, valuable things. The kingdom of heaven, it's valuable. Very valuable. It's exceedingly precious. So precious that the man finding it after hiding again, and he only hides it so he'll have time to go and buy the field for himself. So he could have it for himself, that treasure. So that he will have it. Don't miss the word joy, that word joy in it. The gladness that the treasure caused. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had. The joy brought forth in the man a desire to do all he could ever possibly do to have that treasure. I found a treasure. I must do all I can do to get that treasure. Sell all. What he had did not fill him with joy of that treasure he had just found. Sell all. It didn't bring joy like the treasure he had just found. What he had, it was not a source of gladness compared to what he had just found. I must have the field. Must part with all I have so as to have that field. And then in joy he went and sold all he had. Years ago I read a book. I most likely have mentioned to this in the past to you. The book's title is Developing Talent in Young People. It begins with the subtitle of this: The Dramatic Findings of a Groundbreaking Study of 120 Immensely Talented Individuals Reveal Astonishing New Information on Developing Talent in Young People. Benjamin S. Blooms, the editor. Of note, what I'm going to bring forward this morning, throughout that, in developing the talent of the young people, is the role moms and dads had in that. Moms and dads, these individuals would do all they could possibly do in their ability so that the talent of their child could flourish. They gave all so the talent could grow. To be a concert pianist, yes, they talked about becoming concert pianists. You can't get around it. You must have a nice piano at home to practice and practice and practice hours on end. And nice pianos, they're not cheap. So families would sacrifice all to have that nice piano in the house. Or an excelling athlete, early morning ice time, early morning get up and going to the pool, so that the child could train, and tennis time too, so the child could train. In essence, they were selling all, giving all they could, because they recognized in the child this was a talent to develop. I mean, they did all they could so the child could reach the pinnacle of talent. What would today's youths, what would their hearts look like if the same focus of intentional effort was given to training the heart in truth and righteousness of the kingdom of God. Years ago, Dr. James Dobson told a story of a time when he arrived at college and he was standing before the trophy case. And in that case was a really magnificent trophy with all the names of tennis legends that had been at that college. And he says to himself, I'm going to add my name to that list of legends. Tennis was his focus. He was a really good tennis player. And he'd go up. He would go and get his name on that trophy. His name would be added to that list of legends of that college. Years later, during a remodeling, that trophy ended up in the dumpster. All that hard work, all those accomplishments, now memorialized, or actually demoralized, by being dumped in a dumpster. The trophy was found, and it was actually ended up with Dr. Dobson. He ended up getting it. But think of that. I'm going to get my name on that trophy. I'm going to be memorialized. And then you find it in the, you demoralize, you find it in the dumpster. So again, I ask you, what would things look like if we put the effort into teaching and training children's hearts in the truth and righteousness of the kingdom of God? Give all so the hearts of a child is raised up. I mean, sell all. Sell all he could sell. Do whatever was necessary, for the joy of the treasure was worth it. And to this parable, Jesus adds one like the first parable, Matthew 13, now beginning of verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Again, it's so you make a connection. This is a furthering. It's a repetition in idea, but it also carries the idea farther. And this time, it's more so the fishermen of Galilee are brought in. At this time, it seems the fancy of the Roman luxury class began embracing pearls. And pearls grew in prominence in commerce. Merchants would be out seeking the most precious and prized pearl they could find. Pearls, you know, pearls, they're made by chance in moist oysters and freshwater mussels in response to an irritant that somehow made it into their shell. And under such circumstances, pearls come out in a variety of sizes, variety of shapes, variances of color. Finding that one super magnificent pearl would be on the mind of every merchant. And so this parable really resounds with the people. Yeah, I want to find that pearl. In the field was a happenstance of one stumbling upon the treasure in that parable, is the way the parable is taught. He came upon a treasure. Now in the marketplace, one who knows what he's searching for hasn't found it till this moment. Actions are the same. Give up all that is less to have one that is more. However, there's a nuance here. A nuance here. And it's a nuance to consider. As oftentimes, seeking Christ is defined as seeking that pearl. You sought the pearl as you seek Christ. However, if you listen carefully, in the first parable, the kingdom of heaven is the treasure hidden in the field. Whereas in the second parable, the kingdom of heaven is now the merchant looking for the pearl. A shift in focus. First is one finding the kingdom. The second is now the kingdom seeking the one. The one. That's interesting. It's a shift in focus, and that one is you. The one is you, seeking you. You are of such great value. You create in the image of God. The kingdom of heaven will give all it has to have you as its own. Yes, Jesus will give all to have you as his own. More on this in a moment. Another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. The gospel of Jesus is cast out. The kingdom of heaven is cast out. It catches all kind. It catches the good and the bad. In other words, it falls on all kinds, the good and the bad. Good news is spread. It falls on all kinds of people. Nets gathered in. The good will be gathered into baskets. The bad will be cast aside and thrown out. The good, that is the righteous, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And the bad will be thrown into that place of torment with weeping and gnashing of teeth of the fiery furnace. That day will come. There will be a division. The righteous, the good, will enter the kingdom. The bad will not. Three parables, three perspectives, all three about the kingdom of heaven. First, give all you can. Cast aside all that hinders and is worthless to have for what is of most worth, the kingdom of heaven. Cast aside all that hinders you. It's worthless so that you may have the utmost worth, the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give up your earthly desires, your whims, to have Christ as your all in all. Cast aside. Don't hold on to the worthless idols of human earthly life. Sells all. Sells all. Along with meaning to sell all, it also means to barter. It means to exchange. So another way you can frame this is exchange all of your values. Exchange all of your earthly treasures for the kingdom of heaven. Its treasures, its values, and you find it in Jesus Christ. The merchant, the second parable, is looking for that one pearl, that one to have that is more precious than all others. And that means you. You are more precious than all others. All of you are created in the image of the living God. You, that's the second person plural pronoun, you, means you all, y'all. You are so precious. Y'all are so precious to the Lord God. He gave his only begotten son for you. In other words, all he had, he offered to you, to have you as his own dearly beloved son. God did this all to redeem you from sin and death. The third parable, the net cast out, the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread into the world. Many will respond and believe, and many will not believe. Those who believe will be redeemed, saved, given eternal life. Those who do not believe will be cast out forever. Yes, they will be cast out, thrown away. Forever. This is what the word of the Lord means here. The net is cast out. Every kind is caught in that net. Kind. From the Greek, it means offspring. It means family. It means race. It means nation. It means all kinds. I mean, it's kinds. All nations, all races, all families. The net is cast out to all nations, to all people, to gather them in. The gathering in, it will come. It will come when the net is filled. Filled. From the Greek word, it means to make full, to complete. Reaching individual capacity. A related Greek word means to the maximum of full extent. There will be a time at the end of the age when the net will be completely full. To the fullest extent it will be filled, and at that time it will be drawn in. And that's the consummation of the age. The good gathered in, the bad The bad in the Greek, it means rotten, useless, corrupt, depraved. Yes, depraved. Depraved. All of us are depraved as a result of sin from the fall of man. It's written of in Genesis chapter 3. All are under sin. All who are caught in the net of the kingdom of heaven are depraved. At the consummation of the age, there will be a separation. And the difference, the distinguishing difference, will be Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Those who responded to the call of Christ on their life and exchanged all they had, all the values of this life and all their own desires, their own heart, exchanged it all to have Christ and Christ alone. It's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The difference is, are you in Christ? And that's exchanging all you want of your human desires for Christ and Christ alone. Romans chapter 8, beginning of verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? The good are the ones who responded to God's gracious call in their lives. And that's in the mystery of God's calling, predestination, all that. That's the mystery of God. A few weeks ago, we sang a song during worship, "You Are My All in All." And as we sang it, I briefly gave a little backstory as we were singing it. Here's a little more now, and it's from his website. His website's a little out of date, but Dennis Jernigan, he was a man. He was living contrary to the Word of God, especially as set forth in Leviticus chapter 18. Leaving that behind, he exchanged that. Changed it all for Christ and for Christ. And in Christ, J.J. now found himself to be set free. He was set free to a new freedom in Christ. He is a husband. He is a father. Married to his wife for more than 33 years. 9 children. Welcoming grandchildren. And being the website slightly out of date, probably has grandchildren now. And he says he's walking in freedom since November 7th, 1981. And he finds great joy in sharing grace and the love of God to all who desire freedom in their lives too. Dennis writes, though others were often telling him to give up and accept that identity he was living at that time as innate, as who he is. Then, quoting Dennis, he writes, yet something deep inside of me kept knocking at the door of my heart saying, there must be more. This cannot be your ultimate destiny and identity. When God met me with the truth of the transforming power of Jesus Christ, and I began what I call my incredible journey, I began to realize that I'd been lied to by the world and the philosophies of men. After 7 years of freedom under my belt, the Lord asked me to begin publicly sharing my story because there were others out there who felt the same as I felt. That there must be more. You may say DJ found the treasure in the field and exchanged what he was for the joy of freedom in Christ. Jesus was the treasure he sought, and in Christ he found all his sin, all his shame, all his brokenness. He found healing in Christ. And that's why he sings, "My all in all." The Father gave the Son to die on the cross for our sins, our shame, our depravity, our wickedness, so that through the blood of Christ, we would be forgiven and redeemed. Compassion and mercy would be ours, so full of grace. We would be given the righteousness of Christ to be our own. Let that sink in. All our depravity has now been exchanged through the blood of Christ for the righteousness of Christ. It's ours. We are righteous in God's eyes through the blood of Christ. And we have life everlasting. So the big question is it worth selling all? Is it worth exchanging all your earthly desires, all your earthly patterns of living, all of who you are as you say you are, to have what Christ freely offers you? What the Father gives you through the blood of the Son? The righteousness of Christ is yours. Is it worth exchanging it all to have the righteousness of Christ? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. I ask you again, will you exchange the worthless things of this world for life in Christ? The life that Christ freely offers you, so you would be the chosen, Father's chosen and treasured possessions." Christ gave his all. He exchanged his glory. He gave his life. He gave his all. Philippians chapter 2, beginning of verse 6. "Who," that is Jesus, "being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." He gave all for you. Exchange your all for all that Jesus offers you. Worth selling all? Is it worth selling all? Oh, yes. Absolutely, oh, yes. Worth selling all to have Christ be your all in all. Amen. And amen.